CliffCentral.com.
Good morning, everybody. It is Monday morning. It's the 26th of April. Tomorrow is Freedom Day. But if you've just come out of the weekend and you're confused, don't worry, it's not just you. It's a Monday, but it doesn't feel like one. And then by the time the rest of your week kicks off, you're going to be like, what? What the hell's happening here? Anyway, all of us are wearing jackets and jerseys and winter clothes because I'm sorry to be the one to announce this, but summer's officially done. Summer's done. Even autumn's probably done. There are leaves everywhere. My whole garden is just a big pile of leaves right now. I don't know about you. It's not great.
Yesterday was in Joburg, it was a really sunny, lovely day. It was actually hot at some points.
I was outside yesterday, but I'm afraid the morning and the evening is where I judge this whole expedition. And mornings and evenings are tough as nails at the moment. So, and it's going to get a lot harder through May, June, July. Obviously, August is just hell, and then September it starts getting nice again. But really, we don't have much to complain about in South Africa because mostly it's very pleasant. Mostly it's fine. Mostly it's okay. So we're not going to sit here and moan all day. Anyway, how's everybody? How was the weekend?
It was good. I had a farewelling or a memorial service for the family member that I lost during the beginning of COVID. So he was my uncle, my mum's brother.
Right.
And a very well-known musician, a drummer, and had taught many of the young drummers that we know from our music today.
And
was part of very many bands and drummed for many, famous South African artists as we know them.
Mm-hmm.
So I think what was really interesting for me is that he was very creative. He was also a carpenter and very good with his hands. Just the other day, we cleared out or started to work towards clearing out his workshop and music studio.
Uh-huh.
And we uncovered a set of drums that he had made himself. He had his own really amazing set of drums and another practice kit, and this was a third one that he was working on. And he'd mentioned to us that he was building a drum kit. To those of us who don't understand about building drum kits, it was like, oh, okay, cool. And when I brought in a specialist with me and we uncovered this kit, he stood back and he was just absolutely amazed. Mm-hmm. So my uncle constructed this out of plumbing piping.
What?
Galvanized piping.
Yeah?
Yeah. And built this entire stand out of this galvanized piping. It's absolutely beautiful.
Sure.
He even finished it off in the quirkiness of using plumbing with two working taps. So it was really something amazing to see, and I never really appreciated it until a professional stood back and said, he was actually speechless for a while, and mm-hmm. he said, this is something that any drum collector worldwide would love to have in their collection. This is something that belongs in a museum.
True.
And it was just so interesting to know that my uncle had been quietly constructing this by himself. He faced some difficult times towards the end, it wasn't a death related to COVID. It was for other reasons, which are pretty personal. Mm-hmm. Yes, 6 months later, we, because of COVID, were finally able to get together as a family, and go to a specific spot at Emerentia Dam.
Yeah.
At a specific time of year. And this is why I mentioned that the weather was so amazing, was because the trees at that time are just yellow and red and golden and beautiful, along the dam's edge. And we have two former family members there, my gran and my aunt, who's my uncle's sister. So we scattered his ashes there yesterday. I read a lovely poem, and it's amazing how it's all part of the experience and part of letting go, to have that finality.
You have to.
Laying down some flowers and saying something.
No, if you don't say if you don't say goodbye properly, it just feels like you've left unfinished business, and it, you know, for some people it just never really closes up the hole. It's just you have to say goodbye.
Yeah. I mean, otherwise it feels like the person's gone on holiday and they're still coming back.
Right.
So you have to have this formal goodbye. But it was a pleasant day, and we were able to send recordings to his son and daughter, who are in Dubai and Cape Town. Mm-hmm. And it was just really special. So that's what I did this weekend. Spent some family time.
Nice.
And beautiful. Yeah, it was good. It's good.
Yeah, I actually went out on Saturday night, and I was at this, suddenly at this party with like 200 people. It was wild. Like I felt we were.
What do you mean suddenly?
No, well, I mean,
what?
You're not used to seeing a lot of people, right? I mean, you know, maybe you've been around maximum 20, 30 people at any given time during COVID, and then suddenly you're like, oh wow, it's back to pre-COVID times. People just having a party, no masks anywhere in sight, normal. And I don't think there's anyone there who was worried or concerned about COVID. It was just a party. It was fantastic. And I felt like, oh, okay, things are slowly starting to creep back to normality. Anyway, you know, with curfew, it all wraps up by like 10:30. So you kind of get back home reasonably early. There's a part of me that really likes that. I mean, I still don't understand why we've got this curfew going anymore, but there's a part of me that likes the fact that you can use that as an excuse to be in bed nice and early. You know, nothing wrong with climbing into bed at like, you know, 11:45, and you're like, wow, I managed to go out and, you know, see people and do fun things. Anyway, so Andre says he watched, speaking of COVID, he watched Contagion, the movie, and now he's just become very motivated to stock up with supplements in preparation for a third wave. Well, Andre, don't stress. It's not going to happen. I mean, there's a massive.
You did it to yourself, Andre. It's your fault.
Yeah, you shouldn't have watched that movie. What a lot of shit. There was a massive protest in London over the weekend. I don't know if you saw that, but thousands and thousands of people. No, it was an anti-lockdown protest now. They're sort of saying, just open up the country. This is stupid. Let's get on with it. Let's get back to normal. And thousands of people on the streets in the center of London and in Hyde Park just kind of showing the government they don't care anymore. And then, you know, you get all the panic people who are like, oh, my God, this is going to lead to trouble. The 29th wave. And those people will be, you know, in 10, 20 years' time, they'll still be fearful and cowering in a corner somewhere. And you've got to eventually just get on with it, because the only way to defeat these things, as we have learned historically from every other time a plague has bothered humanity, that the way to get over it is for us to just carry on living. You know, it doesn't force you to stop living. Otherwise, what's the point of being alive? Just to be organically alive and not actually enjoy your life? So I saw that happening. And they had the Oscars last night. Did anyone watch that?
So it's still ongoing, actually.
Okay,
The results are coming in. But what I found interesting was I was prompted to vote on the Webby Awards, which I'm sure you've heard of before.
Yes.
Which is, it's everything from, it's absolutely amazing internet content, everything that's on the internet, from videos to adverts to podcasts to documentaries, short videos, long videos, memes, music videos, all sorts of things.
Yeah.
And I found that so much more interesting than the Oscars. I mean, there are long movies within the Webby Awards. So you can actually go onto Webby Awards. I think it's vote.webbyawards vote for your favorites. And do you remember I spoke about a specific comedian on YouTube that I watch, Julia Nolkes, Julie Nolks.
No.
And she does a special skit where it's her against her, and it's her future self explaining COVID to her past self. And warning her past self about what's going to happen.
Are you sure you told us about this?
I did mention it very briefly because I remember someone who was listening to us mentioned that they did. They heard about it too and had seen it. She's up for an award. So I just feel like, and you know, you have a part in it. You're able to go and vote for whichever podcast or documentary you like. It's so much more interesting than the Oscars.
What I'm surprised by, I'm surprised because it's still happening, but has clearly lost its impact, the Razzies, the Golden Raspberry Awards. You know, they celebrate the worst
films. It's like the opposite of the Oscars. But I mean, even the Oscars have lost they've lost their sting completely. I mean, I don't think anyone would be bothered to watch a stupid live streamed Oscars. And I also think that the Oscars have started to, you know, ever since they became like this place where people just stand up and mouth off about politics, I think most people watch movies to escape from the world, not to be a part of it, not to be an activist. And these days, everyone in Hollywood has they make these speeches about things and nobody cares.
What I'm glad the Oscars have done is they had a no Zoom and very specific dress code policy.
Oh, yeah?
So that, as a viewer, I'm so done. I say this as we broadcast from home. But as a viewer, I'm not enjoying seeing people at home. I'm not enjoying seeing people on Zoom. I'm not enjoying feeling like, you know, exactly what you were alluding to. I want to escape from what I'm going through. So I want to watch a set. I want to see light. I want to see great choreography and effort. So I didn't want to see that. Oh, okay,
Robert. You want a show.
Yeah. So at least they're back on set. I don't know where exactly they were filming, but it looked good so far from what I saw.
Yeah,
they were practicing social distancing. They had to have 2 COVID tests before the actual event. It was quite well practiced. But I think for me, when COVID came about and so many more people were able to broadcast from home, remember the phase that we went through and we're still going through where home broadcasters or podcasters or vloggers are the stars now, and Hollywood stars have lost their sparkle.
Yeah,
and
I think this
was highlighted again by my interest more in the Webby Awards than the Oscars.
No, I think you make a very valid point. There's a lot that has changed, and I don't think a lot of it is going to go back to where it was before. Some of it obviously will, and I agree with Sia. People are like desperate for a show now, and they want to, they want to see live entertainment again. But I'm just going to skip through quickly to something Sven just sent us. Listen now. I'm super stoked. I became a father on Friday. We have a healthy little bundle of joy.
Yay.
Very proud father, he says. Have a great day, guys. So isn't that nice for Sven?
Oh, that's
congratulations.
Amazing.
What a happy thing to wake up to this morning.
I wonder how protocol is and procedure is now in hospitals, Sven. Were you able to go into the ward? Were you able to stay there all throughout labor, before the delivery, all of these things?
So apparently now you can stay during labor, but you can only visit very seldom after that. So it gives dads a lot of time to go and celebrate with family and not feel obligated to be at the hospital.
Yeah, listen, I mean, I think there are lots of people who would feel very lonely and very isolated if they weren't allowed to have, you know, for example, there are whole categories of movies about, you know, the family sitting in the waiting room waiting for the nurse or the doctor or whoever it is to come out and say it's a boy or it's a girl. Remember all of that? That's like a thing. Mm-hmm. And to not be able to be there, I was there for the birth of one of my nephews, and it was really special. You know, we were all kind of waiting, and the in the adjacent room or whatever it is. And then they came through and told us, and then we could all go through and say hi when he was born. And it was very cool. I feel that maybe that's one of the cruelest things about what's been going on, is that so many moms.
How were you not the other one?
Oh, I can't remember. I think I don't even know if I was in town or whatever. But but anyway, or maybe by then, the shine had worn off, and I was like, I've done this before.
See, as a petty person, I would want to know why.
Yeah,
now, and that's the youngest child.
Yeah. Ooh, you're going to have to get your story straight when you have to answer to that.
Sia's already hurt. So Sven says, yes, we did book a family room and stayed the whole weekend, was there for the whole birth. So, very nice.
Yeah, I mean, it even reminds me of that clip we saw recently of an elephant giving birth, and how the family ran over afterwards and trumpeted and celebrated.
Right.
It's natural for us to want to do that and be together.
Absolutely. Apparently, according to Venetia, the octopus teacher won an Oscar. That's very good.
Oh, I'm so glad.
Nice. All right. Very good. Tracy's just adding to our discussion of the hospitals and their rules. So each hospital has their own rules, depends on the area, infection rates, etc. Visitors are limited. However, some of the new moms are delighted because mother-in-laws can't visit. I'm a birth photographer. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay, that's
it's quite nice
job.
When families go home, new families, they often have a barrage of family members knocking down the door to come and spend time with them.
Yeah.
And this is a good excuse for them to say, guys, we just want to social distance and take it easy for now.
Yeah. Well, let me just quickly give you an idea of what's coming up a little bit later this morning, because we've got 2 full hours of lots of really cool stuff to talk about. Among other things, at 6:40, we'll be talking to JJ Cornish and our African analysis segment, where we talk about all the things that are going on the continent. But we also occasionally we zoom in on a particular country and we find out all about what that country is and where they come from and what their history is. By the end of one of these African analysis segments, you will know all about that place. And today we're going to take a look at Somaliland, which is a very misunderstood and much maligned and not particularly pleasant part of our continent. But we're going to find out all about it from JJ. That's at about 6:40. And then later on, we're doing the Collectomania. We started this last week, where basically we talk about all the collections that people have. And this morning I managed to persuade my brother to talk about his collections, because he's got some pretty cool stuff.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
So I thought of some other collections I have as well, so I'll add to that.
Cool. We'll get to that. So first things first, you remember Sia told us about the psychic that he got a message from last week. Do you remember this?
Yeah. I mentioned it on Friday.
That's right. And Sia was blown away by how this person managed to just read. It was a friend's family member, right? And you got this message that, you know, Siabonga X, Y, and Z, and you couldn't believe that it was so accurate. And you actually went searching for more. So what happened?
Yeah, well, it's kind of like needing or going for a second opinion with a doctor.
Sure.
Because I've never gone to a psychic before. I've never really believed that much in them. So I thought, if you're going to mention very specific things, I might as well go for a second opinion. So I booked a session on Friday. Then now, once again, damn it, I hate the fact that I'm a believer. I'm in there now.
So now you hook, line, and sink it. What happened?
Give me 2 more weeks and I'm going to buy some gems and stones to hang about my house here. But she started off the session by mentioning 3 people who I know who've passed away, and very specifically and so clearly, almost then for my benefit to clarify and to believe what she's talking about. And she mentioned a detail, a very close family friend. She mentioned my grandfather and she mentioned my aunt. Now, these are people, bar the family friend, perhaps. I've never posted about my grandfather, my aunt. I don't know where you'd find that information.
No.
So the fact that she knows it, I was already now caught into tears, like, oh, damn it. Okay, is this real? Okay, now I do believe in this. And her name was Brenda, the psychic, and she has this very sweet and loving voice and nature about her. Mm-hmm. But there was a space and time in the reading when her voice dropped a couple of decibels and then she spoke.
Oh my God.
Freaked me out. Wait, I now need to summon the spirits of the world, the spirits of the world. They are speaking to me. And I'm like, Lord, I don't know. What is this? What is happening? But she split this. She split the reading up into work, developments in my life, love life, and just general health and family stuff. Hmm. What I made mention of and wrote a note about was, she said something will happen with us in July in terms of work. I don't know what that is, but she said it will be a good thing. So I thought, okay, thanks, Brenda. Things are looking up.
All right, well, that's good news.
So make note of that.
All right.
And
are you leaving out some of the bad stuff she said about work? Like someone's gonna trip on their way to the laptop in the morning and they're gonna fall on their face? So she didn't tell you anything like that?
None of that. Okay. No, she just said that something good in terms of us will happen in July.
All right.
Then she says, she was in the middle of the whole reading. Then she takes a very deep and dramatic pause and she says, you aren't in a relationship, right? And I go, well, Brenda, wow, this is getting very personal very quickly. She says, yeah, because I'm not seeing one person. I'm seeing a lot of men around you.
Oh, Jesus. Okay, sure. Yeah. I mean, wow. Wow.
Is Brenda calling to the war?
No, but hold on. I have a question quickly. Do you remember that woman that we had on this show?
Yes.
And I
made fun of her. I wasn't taking her seriously.
No, but she said, Sia, something about getting married or a girl or a woman. So now this psychic, did she know that you were gay before she said she sees a lot of men around you?
Yeah, she asked me first. She says, I'm getting a sense of that energy. And I thought, is it my voice? Is it my demeanor? Was something misleading? Or really, now that I believe in it, I'm like, okay, she's talking about it and she knows. So she spoke about that and spoke about, there'll be no marriage for me on the cards. And I knew that. And it's just weird for someone to be so specific. So,
I'm
a believer now.
There's a fair amount of this that is it like a self-fulfilling prophecy. Like you hear it and so you end up doing it, you know. I'm nervous about this stuff because I don't want to judge it out of hand and I don't want to throw it out and say it was this absolute bullshit and don't believe a word and blah, blah, blah. But there's another part of me that's like, you know what? Some of these people are really good at selling you a story that's, 50% likely. And then because you believe it, you actually make it happen. Like I do believe human beings can manifest all kinds of things. You know, we're very, if you say something and if you believe something and if you repeat it and you start to take it very seriously, ultimately you can really make that thing happen. And
definitely,
I don't know,
so
much of what these people say is just, it feels to me like, they really just, a lot of the time, they're also telling you what you want to hear or what's obvious, but you don't like to acknowledge.
Yeah, there's nothing I'd say that really was so left field for me that she mentioned. It was also a very interesting person to talk to and get to know more about. I didn't even know we had this in South Africa, but she also works with the police, the SAPS, for some murder scenes, for, you know, various crime scenes, to walk in and she feels the scene out and she sometimes gives details about what happened in there and, you know, lends to cases. So I thought,
some of them are definitely better than others.
That
woman we had on last time was really bad. She was just totally out of, she didn't have any, you know, any kind of feel for us, or I don't think she really, you know, and also we've got to remember, we talk about ourselves on the show all the time. There's a huge amount of information about us out there as compared to normal anybody else who's you know, if you just scour their Facebook or whatever, you'll be able to find out all about them.
Like a consumer broadcaster on CNN.
Yeah. I mean, there's a huge amount of information. Like every morning we talk about what's going on in our lives and we talk about what news stories we're interested in. And so if you listen to just, you know, 4 or 5 episodes of the show, you'd get a pretty good feel for what kind of people we are, more than you might from someone who you really didn't know at all. And so even for the very cynical part of me goes, oh, well, come on. How hard is it to find out information about us because we're doing these shows every day? I don't know.
Oh, I don't know. I can't explain it. I'm hooked. So, yeah, she did say that, look, I don't have to come back soon. There's nothing. No, she said the people who have died from my life are dead and are fine with that. They're at peace wherever they are. And they want us to carry on living our lives. So it's not like they want to make contact with us. They're not going to be sending some big, great sign, which I'm happy with. I think I've mentioned on the show here, it might be a little weird prayer of mine whenever someone close to me dies. But I'm like, don't visit me in a dream.
Yeah.
I don't want to partake in that. So I'm glad the people who've crossed over are not just dead and they're keeping to themselves.
Yeah, the cynical part of me, the rational part of me is like, this is total bullshit and you can't buy any of it. But there's always something there that you can't explain. There's a lot that we don't know. And I'm the first to admit that I don't even know a quarter of what's going on. Sometimes I'm so surprised by, you know, the sheer synchronicity of something. And I go, how is it possible that I was just thinking about that person and they just phoned me out of the blue? Or how is it possible that these three things that I've been thinking about for the last, you know, year and a half, all suddenly within the space of 24 hours have just come to fruition or something's happened? It's very hard to explain. There's no way you can come up with a short, succinct explanation of that is totally scientific or rational. Some of it we just don't understand. Yeah. Anyway, so we've got some other stories from people here. Do you remember John Edwards? Yeah,
yes.
John Edwards. So Corona's Boring says, I think John Edwards is the biggest douche in the universe. Someone in the audience has lost someone close to them whose name starts with a J. He disgusts me. Is he still in business, that John Edwards?
I haven't seen like his show on any of the networks.
No, me neither. I don't know that he's still around. But there we go. All right, we're going to get to some headlines. We're going to do that in a second. And by the way, if you want to get hold
of it,
what's that?
I say he must have made his money, even if he isn't around. He was massive. He was all over the place. He'd come to the country often.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh no, he used to, and he would charge a lot of money. And you know, you could be in the audience, and then he'd tell you a story. But I don't know. Those people, they kind of strike me like those snake oil salesmen of the 1800s who'd come rolling into town with their wagon and they'd have a bunch of cheap parlor tricks that they could play on people. And then people would go, oh my God, you know, this magic man has just been to town and he's helped me. There's still people who make money that way. They sell you stories. They sell you stuff that you want to be true. Like now I'm sitting here and as a fairly rational person, I'm going, ooh, July, something good is going to happen. Sia told us something good is going to happen on the show. We're going to be ready for July. It's so exciting.
I know. Because you know, she said of anything, though, I should anticipate a slight sign 3 days after the reading, which was yesterday, of doors slamming or lights flickering.
Oh, God.
And so I was now walking around. I was like, where are you, Granny?
Not the doors slamming and the lights flickering. I mean, that never happens. You know, lights flickering. Word. God's sake.
God, I hate the fact that I'm in it.
See, you're so deep in it. There's no escaping now. All right.
Not at all. I can't.
Where shall we begin? Let's take a look at some of the news headlines. What have I got here for you? All right. We'll start off with the ANC Youth League picketing. This is actually, it's such a stupid story. I don't even know if I should bother. Let's just start with the COVID-19 vaccine rollout, which is resuming on Wednesday for Johnson & Johnson. Remember they said they were going to put a pause on that because they were worried about, I don't know, five people in the whole world who suddenly were having side effects, and that because of that they weren't sure. So they decided, oh, no, we're going to have to reissue the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, and now it's going to continue. The rollout was halted early this month over fears of a blood clotting disorder. Government has ordered 31 million doses of the vaccine. The Sisonke vaccine program, which sees healthcare workers inoculated, is also resuming. Vaccination sites will be expanded to 95 sites across the country. That's amazing. Amazing. Think about that. 31 million doses of the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. That's just unbelievable. I don't think South Africa's ever been it. Why couldn't we ever do this back in the Thabo Mbeki era for AIDS? Remember, he always said HIV and AIDS weren't related. It would be too expensive for us to be able to get all the antiretrovirals that we needed. He wasn't sure that they worked. Why couldn't we have done this then? You know how many hundreds of thousands of people died? Hundreds of thousands, not just the 53,000 who died from COVID. I think about that often. And it bothers me that our government was so callous.
Do you think perhaps there wasn't this worldwide motivation to do the same? Whereas, you know, as South Africa, we've been able to work on existing models from other countries and how their rollouts have you know, gone along.
Maybe.
But with HIV/AIDS, we didn't have anything to go on.
No,
it was too big a concept.
You might be right. I just find the whole thing very upsetting because, you know, those people in my mind, they died for no good reason. And they could have been saved. Hundreds of thousands of South Africans who could have been saved if we'd just pressed the button earlier. And I mean, now there are millions of South Africans on ARVs, millions, and we get to do that properly. But it bugs me that those opportunities were there to save people and we never took them. So I mentioned this briefly. My Octopus Teacher has taken home the Oscar, and it's a huge privilege to represent the place I love, according to the director. So, an intimate story of a man finding solace in the ocean and befriending a curious sea creature. Their unique bond grew in the icy waters of the Atlantic Ocean in False Bay, South Africa. When Craig Foster decided to capture the story in a documentary, he didn't know that it would, months later, take home the Oscar for Best Documentary, no less, at the 93rd Academy Awards in Los Angeles. So there we go.
I'm so pleased about that.
No. All those people who've been saying you've got to see the my Octopus Teacher, now it's been worthwhile. You were backing the right horse, everybody. I still haven't seen the movie, though. So.
You know,
you really have to be in the right mood. You have to be in the right mood. You have to not be expecting this crazy plot, or, you know, wanting to sit down and watch something about the apocalypse. Or you have to really be in a quiet mood, not looking for crazy entertainment.
Okay.
It's just really subtle and special.
Well, we still had a lot of South African representation at the Oscars this year. I was living vicariously through Nomsa Mumbata, who's now based in LA, and looking at her Insta stories over the weekend. You know, the Oscars goodie bag is still a thing, and it's a massive thing.
Really?
You know, she was posting some of the things that she was getting and thanking the people there. Getting diamonds. And it wasn't even just a tiny little diamond pendant of a necklace. It was a whole string of diamonds as a necklace. She got an all expenses paid to three different islands. I forgot where they were.
What?
I think like the Caribbean is one of them.
Wow. That's what they give away at the Oscars.
At the Oscar goodie bag. The Oscars goodie bag. It is crazy.
You know, it struck me as so bizarre that, like, you know, the Oscars is the kind of thing that most of these A-listers have to go to just keep their careers up and to be seen, right? And the Oscars is a fairly prestigious award to get anyway. Now they also have to give the only people in the world who can afford diamonds and island holidays, they have to give them those for free. And these are the people, ironic. And these are the people who stand up on stage every year and tell us how, you know, we must be this and we must do that and we must stop flying in private jets or in airplanes and we must all be very conscious of our pollution, our carbon footprint, and stop eating meat and all this. They tell you what to do the whole time. And these are the people, if you don't mind, who are getting free holidays and, you know, strings of diamonds. I'm just not interested in hearing from those people anymore. Anyway, so My Octopus Teacher, the winner. And then you remember we mentioned that story last week about that missing submarine in Indonesia.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they found it, and all 53 of the crew are dead. A missing Indonesian submarine had been found cracked apart on the seafloor in waters off Bali, and all 53 crew are dead. Parts of the KRI Nanggala 402. It was broken into three pieces. That is very strange. Authorities said that they received signals from the location more than 800 meters deep early Sunday morning, and that they'd used an underwater submarine rescue vehicle supplied by Singapore to get visual confirmation. Apparently, they discovered some parts from the vessel on Sunday, including an anchor and safety suits worn by crew members. On Saturday, the Navy had said that fragments of the submarine, including items from inside the vessel, had been retrieved, but its location had yet to be confirmed. So they were doing live torpedo training exercises off the island of Bali, and it disappeared on Wednesday and had been missing for all of that time until they eventually discovered it on Sunday. Oof. That's got to be one of the worst things that could happen, is to be in a submarine when it cracks open. My God. Anyway, Zimbabwe has, they don't have submarines in Zimbabwe because they don't have a coast, but they do have helicopters. And there was a helicopter crash. The Zimbabwean Air Force helicopter crashed, and a child and three crew were killed. This is pretty awful. The accident took place on Friday in the village of Arcturus, which is around 30 kilometers east of Harare. Apparently, what happened was the helicopter crashed into a house and sadly claimed the lives of two pilots and a technician, as well as a child who was on the ground. So that's got to be a terrible way to go too. Imagine you're in your house and you're a kid and you're chilling, maybe watching TV, you're playing with your toys or whatever it is, and then suddenly this helicopter comes smashing through the roof and takes you out. The child's mother and another girl were taken to hospital with burn injuries. Contact with the helicopter was lost after it took off from Zimbabwe's main airbase in Harare. Search and rescue teams sent to locate the aircraft eventually found the wreckage. Ugh. Anyway, that's what we got. That's the story. You were going to say, Leanne?
I remember when I was very little, family friends of ours were playing on the beach with their little two-year-old daughter. I think it was in Durban. And there was a helicopter crash on the beach, and their little daughter was killed.
You're joking. Wow. What are the chances of that? My God.
Yeah.
That's hectic. All right. Other news. Let's just look at some of the other stories. So we've got a submarine, a helicopter. Now the African Union is seeking the restoration of civilian rule in Chad. You know, there's another country we can ask JJ about later on, but the AU's 15-member security body, the Peace and Security Council, don't worry if you haven't heard of these, they're not particularly important. They voiced grave concern over the establishment of a military council headed by 37-year-old Mahamat Idris Debi. He's the military leader there. The African Union urged the restoration of civilian rule in Chad after the veteran ruler and his son took charge following his father's death fighting rebels. The AU's 15-member security body decided that this is something they need to express grave concern about. And the elder Debi, who had ruled the vast semi-desert state with an iron fist for 30 years, surprise, surprise, this happens quite a lot in Africa, died from wounds sustained in battle at the weekend. His death was has stunned ally and former colonial ruler France, which has relied on Chad in its campaign against a jihadist revolt in the Sahel region. Chad staged a state funeral for Debi on Friday that was attended by French President Emmanuel Macron, who called on the newly appointed military government to foster stability, inclusion, dialogue, and democratic transition. Unreal, huh? This is all happening in real time on our continent. Did you know that?
Yeah. It's not a movie, folks.
No, isn't it just unbelievable? So we may have a gap where we can ask JJ about that this morning, but otherwise we'll be looking at Somaliland in African analysis.
Which has nothing to do with Legoland.
No, nothing. Although Lego will come up in our conversation with my brother later on when we talk about collectomania. Vice President Kamala Harris said on Sunday that the U.S. government will help Central American farmers affected by climate change in an effort to address the root cause of migration. Harris has been tasked with spearheading President Joe Biden's bid to resolve the long-running problem of uncontrolled migration over the U.S.-Mexican border. The U.S. Department of Agriculture is going to increase their focus and their resources around helping farmers in Central America. So essentially what they want to do is they want to help farmers in Guatemala and Honduras and places like that so that they don't decide they're going to come to America. And she had to bring climate change into this.
It's definitely a passive-aggressive version of what Trump was doing. So not the wall, but let's help them just to prevent them from coming over.
You're exactly right. It was a passive-aggressive version of the same thing. It's like, the end goal is we don't want you to come here, right? But rather than just say that like Trump did, Biden and Harris are going to be going around the outside saying, oh, no, but we'll help the farmers there, and therefore they'll prefer to stay in Guatemala and Honduras, which, of course, they won't, no matter how much farming aid you give them. And they'd rather take their chances coming through to America. Let's see how this works. Let's see how well it goes. What would Kamala say, Sia? You can do it in her voice.
Oh, my God. Well, you got to just help the farmers.
Joe.
You got to just help the farmers, Joe. You got to do it.
God, I hate that woman's voice. She drives me crazy. All right, so there
we are.
We're
doing it, Joe.
Yeah.
We got to help the farmers of the United States.
Oh, man. Hey, speaking of the White House and the U.S., apparently, there are new photos that have just come out showing Jeffrey Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell as VIP guests a couple of times in the Bill Clinton White House. This is not going...
They give me the creeps.
I know, they give me the creeps too, but this is not going away anytime soon, is it?
Did you see that this weekend... the mansion on the island was completely demolished.
No, was it? Did they blow it up?
Yeah. There, these bulldozers came in and ripped that place down. And the neighbors were very excited about it because they said there was no way that that property would have been taken up by someone else, not holding all those horrible, dark, terrible secrets. So it's all been plowed to the ground, and it's a fresh piece of land and ready to be redeveloped.
Well, I find that, don't you think it's a little suspicious? Don't be suspicious. Don't be suspicious. Come on,
there. Don't be suspicious. Don't be suspicious. Don't be suspicious.
I mean, like, they, as far as I can tell, there are a few pictures taken from helicopters or drones over the island, but there aren't any pictures of what the place looked like. And I feel like ordinary old us in the public who may be interested in this story and think that there was this island where this monster Jeff Epstein used to take people. I think there was still stuff that we needed to investigate there. I think there was still, you know, there was information.
I doubt that.
There was information that I think people are probably allowed to, they're questions that people are allowed to ask. So I don't think they should have just destroyed the place.
I'm sure that they sucked everything out of that place that they could have. I mean, all eyes were on this investigation. They would have had to have been completely thorough and done everything right. And to be quite honest, just from a decorative point of view, I remember there were some videos of the pink carpet leading up the brass staircase.
Oh my God.
Going up to the main bedroom. So I'm just glad that's not even on our planet
anymore.
That is
horrible. Well, that's the Jeffrey Epstein Island, and apparently an uncomfortable series of photographs were released over the weekend, which the Clintons won't want us to know about, where Jeff Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell were VIP guests, not just once, not just twice, but a couple of times. in the White House.
Some dating back as far as 1993.
Sure.
And shows Ghislaine and Jeffrey in the presidential reception area.
Mm-hmm.
Within the Oval Office, they even like pictures of them in the East Room. That's where the president usually has very close guests.
Yeah.
And hope the guests there. And there are some new allegations of them donating money to the Clinton administration. And that's why they were also so close and allowed to go to the White House. Makes you go,
Well, one last thing that I want to go to before we cross to JJ Cornish. Andre says, Meghan deserved an Oscar, since the Oscars are still ongoing. That's Meghan Markle. I wonder if she actually gets her Oscar this year. Yes, I'm sure that she will, even if it's just the hearts and minds of all the people who knew she was bullshitting on live TV. Anyway, we've got to get to JJ Cornish. It is time for African Analysis, which is brought to you by the Johannesburg Business School. We look at what's going on the African continent. JJ, good morning. How are you?
Bonjour to you. Any better, I'd have to tell the cops, eh?
Love it. So, JJ, this morning, I'm very excited because you said to us the other day, you teased that you would be telling us about a place called Somaliland, which sounds almost like it should be a made-up place, but it kind of is a made-up place in some ways because it's made up of what are the remains of other colonial countries. It's in the Horn of Africa, but I don't know anything else about this. So why don't you take the stage and tell us about Somaliland?
Somaliland is a former British protectorate, and it gained independence in 1960. Now, Somaliland is located at the top of the Horn of Africa. If you took the Horn like a seven,
yes,
it's at the very top, with this area called Puntland at the very...
We like the name Puntland.
Top of that.
It looks like...
Yeah,
I know. Why don't you ask JJ, just see if you can get him back, Sia, and ask him if he can turn off his camera, and then we might have, you know, audio, because I don't want us to... We were just getting into Puntland, Leanne, and I know that's your favorite part of Somalia.
Yes.
Puntland.
Or Puntland, which rhymes with something else.
So, yes, Puntland. He started telling us about this last week, and then we kind of lost it somewhere.
You probably say Puntland.
Yeah, but I like, you've got to say Puntland. Let's do
land.
Yeah. I like this. All right, you'll see. Is going to get JJ back for us in a second to find out about Puntland and Somaliland, and then a little bit later on, it is Collectomania, where we'll talk about collections and all the different things that various people collect. It's something which we're doing along with the South African Gold Coin Exchange and the Scoin Shop, finding out about all the interesting things that people collect. And this morning, we'll be talking to my brother. I managed to convince him that it would be a fun thing for him to tell us about his collections. And
was it difficult to convince him?
Not really. I think he's kind of proud of having these collections. And I've told you, we're a bit of a collectomaniac family. So he's got his own as well. Let's see if we can get JJ back on here. Monsieur Cornish, hello. We're back. Sorry. You began to tell us.
Am I back?
Yeah, you are. You're back. You began to tell us about Puntland, and then suddenly your internet crashed out. Go for it.
Well, those Puntlanders, they always knock me out. I don't know. I haven't said anything bad about them. But okay. Now, Somalia got independence from Britain in 1960, as did Somalia, which was an Italian colony.
Right.
They joined up, hoping for this concept of a greater Somalia, which would have taken in parts of Ethiopia and Kenya. It never happened. In the 80s, Siad Barre, the dictator in Somalia, a very bad dude as it happens, he turned on rebels in Somaliland. And from the...
JJ, can you just switch your camera off? Because I think maybe we'll get some audio out of you then. Internet's gone. Just switch the camera off. Let's see if we can get him with... Leanne and I sitting here going, come on, internet, come back to us, internet.
Yeah.
Oy, oy, oy. This is so frustrating. You know, some days we don't have any problems, and then other days we have lots of them. And
yeah.
And then sometimes it's just one of the guests who's having a problem. So you could see JJ's little wheel of death over there. JJ, you back? Just see if we can get just his audio. That was just starting to get exciting. It's like a story that's unfolding, and then suddenly he's gone.
Yes.
No. All right. So
I had no idea.
Try one more time.
But makes sense, though, that the English would say, yeah, this is Somaliland. And the Italians would say, this is Somalia.
Well, I mean, you remember during World War II, Mussolini famously, there were a whole lot of troops stationed in East and North Africa. And there were many South Africans who were dispatched to those parts of this continent to fight Mussolini and obviously Hitler in Egypt and Libya. What was it? Rommel at the Battle of El Alamein. So famously, there are a lot of South Africans involved there too. But people do tend to forget that that Somalia was and Ethiopia was. They were both Italian colonies for the longest time. Although it's true to say also that Ethiopia was one of those places that managed to maintain its independence despite mm-hmm. all the colonial incursions into that area. So there's quite a lot to talk about with Somalia and Ethiopia. Hopefully we can get JJ back on in a moment or two. Mm-hmm. Just to go quickly back to the Epstein stuff, which I'm sorry if I find this story as fascinating as I do, but I think everybody in the world who's not at least a little bit curious about Jeff Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell, I think you're really just not paying attention. I mean, it's so bizarre, right? So Angela says there's this brilliant documentary which is called Angela, you're referring to My Octopus Teacher. But Tracy says, you've got to watch Filthy Rich on Netflix. Left me with more questions than answers. And according to Corona's Boring, Bill Clinton gives good speeches. That's why so many people have paid him billions to speak. That's true, too. And then Tracy adding here that Ethiopia has a large black Jewish community. That's interesting. Hmm. What do they call them? I've just struck a blank. But yes, absolutely. All right, Sia, we're going to try with JJ quickly. And let's see if JJ, can you hear us now? Because if we can hear you, we're going to carry on. No. Damn. This is very, very annoying.
Brother.
No. All right, well, we'll have to pick it up. I mean, what we'll do is we'll try and record JJ and then put him on as a podcast. It's very frustrating when we seem to have these internet issues. And it's only in the morning. When I spoke to him last time, I spoke to him in the afternoon and recorded it, and it was absolutely fine. Should we try one more time? I think I can see him there. Hello, JJ Cornish, come in.
Come in, I believe.
No, he's gone. All right. Sorry about that, everybody. Built it up and then there.
That's okay.
Follow through. But as I was saying, this whole thing with the Epstein Maxwell thing is just, the whole thing's a bit weird. The whole thing's very, very strange. And there's so many parts of it, like these connections to these extremely important and powerful people. You know, I saw Prince Andrew with the whole, you know, with Prince Philip's death and everything. He suddenly made a reappearance, but he's otherwise been pretty much keeping quiet and keeping to himself. And you see the Clintons and, you know, Bill doesn't make very many appearances anymore because I think he's become an embarrassment, frankly.
Ooh.
You know, Bill, despite the fact that he wasn't impeached as president with all those women that he is supposed to have had affairs with, I think Bill's become an embarrassment. He really has. And Jeffrey Epstein, knowing all of them, is just very strange. Anyway, all right. We'll move on from JJ Cornish, and we'll try and get him back for a little podcast update on the Johannesburg Business School. I don't know why he, suddenly the technical aspect of doing that has become so complicated. It was absolutely fine for weeks in a row. Yeah. See, are you upset by that comment that was made earlier by somebody who thinks that Meghan should get an award for an Oscar, an acting award for the Oscars?
When I think about my housemate who walked in sometime last week and found me rewatching the interview, and like to my defense, I was like rewatching it, but I had it on in the background. It's now like comforting viewing to have it on. And it's sad when I can also now quote a lot of it. It's very ironic that for years I stood up and advocated for women's voices.
Yeah.
But in this time, I was silent. Then Oprah says, were you silent or were you silenced? Oh, masterpiece. Oh, we are not worthy.
What a steaming heap of bullshit. Still, I even hearing you relay the story for the, I don't know, umpteenth time, I'm like, what a lot of crap. Seriously. I told you that.
It is such a number doing.
I told you I restarted watching Vikings, and I'm on season 3 now. And it's just, it's such a great show, you know. I know there's still many seasons to come, and that excites me because I think I started watching it when it came out, and then I sort of lost interest, but now I'm back in. And the other series that I have to watch at some point, because everybody's telling me how brilliant it is Peaky Blinders.
I wasn't in the right frame of mind to get into it, but I just loved the cinematography and also the way they put modern music to these olden day scenes. It's very cool. Very cool.
Well, there was apparent. What's that? What's the premise of Peaky Blinders? I don't know. I've just heard it's a really good, I think it's like Gangland London or Ireland or something else. I can't remember.
I think it's in the days of Prohibition, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, I'm not entirely sure. I'm not going to say anything because I'll get it wrong. That's probably the worst explanation of a series you've ever heard is from us three when we haven't seen it. What I love about Vikings is as violent as it is, and they include all the violence, right? And the sex and everything else. It's a good, solid series. But there's actually a little bit of historical accuracy too. And you know, I like a little bit of history. So if they include enough of the facts, you know, there's this King Egbert of Wessex, and then there's this guy called King Aela of Northumbria, and they actually were. They were people who really lived in the 700 and 800s AD. That kind of thing just keeps me interested. So if Peaky Blinders has an element of real history in it, then I'll go and take a look. But I'm lining them up, so I've got to start lining up new series. Because, you know, the problem is, even though we're all working more or less at capacity and we're back to normal in many ways and going into the office like today, I've got to go into the office after the show. Even though all of that's happening, there's still a bit of time. And we're not going out for dinner every night, or we're not rushing around as much. We're not spending as much time in the traffic. It does free you up to watch interesting shows. So I've now got to go and line them up. I've got to have a bunch of them in a list of things that I want to get through, because there's so many series that I missed out on. And I've never been a big TV watcher. So it's quite nice to have like this... you settle in, you get a nice cup of tea or whatever, you get a little blanket, you get on the sofa. I mean, don't tell me that isn't fun.
Oh, it's so beats being in traffic and wasting time like that.
Yeah.
Driving to meetings.
Now, the weather allows. You know, I finished all of my work on Friday in the afternoon. I actually went into the office on Friday, so I had like a somewhat conventional day.
Yeah.
I came home and realized I have nothing to do today. And I had one of my best and simplest guilty pleasures. I turned my phone off and I climbed into bed at 5:30. I slept all the way through up until like 11 p.m. I woke up. I didn't even know what you'd call that meal then. Is it dinner? Is it like an early breakfast? Is it whatever? At around 11. And then I went back to sleep at about 1 again and just woke up only on Saturday at about like 8 or 9 in the morning. Simplest random pleasure.
You know what, Sia? That is pure therapy. I'll tell you what. I'm jealous of that too. Here's the thing that's nice about it is that we didn't have to record a TV show today. So we've already got a TV show in the bag for this Wednesday. And it's a good one. I think you're going to enjoy it. It's quite fiery. But we recorded that last Wednesday. And you know, Sia has to be on permanent standby for guests, and he's trying to arrange this one, and then this one cancels, and this one moves, and this one says to him they've got a doctor's appointment out of the blue, so he has to find someone else. So it's a different kind of stress. And for this weekend, he actually didn't have to worry, and I didn't have to worry. I woke up on Saturday thinking, oh my God, I've got to write some stuff for the TV show. And I suddenly went, I don't have to do any of that stuff. I can just sleep.
You know, it's actually a friend of mine who got me into this habit when I can, which is very seldom, to turn your phone off.
Because
when last did you do that? When were you able to?
I can't tell
And
you.
It's still, I get a sense, scares my family around me, because I just send a warning text to everyone to say, hey, I'm okay. I'm just turning my phone off for the evening. I'm turning my phone off for 2 hours. And you actually get to really relax. And like sometimes you'll have your phone on silent, but you know, it will vibrate and then that sets you off. And then you think, what is happening? And then you do want to check your phone. But bless.
It's like I was watching a movie last night, and it was set in 1977. And the only communication that these two on a road trip have is by stopping every now and then at a gas station to use the public phone. And they kind of say where they are, and they get back into the car and they disappear for 10 hours.
Remember those days of landlines. We'll be back in a couple of minutes. We've just got to take a break for the 7 o'clock podcast. It is 7:04 already, so we're a little bit late, but we've got lots of other stuff to talk about. And I've got a nice description of what Peaky Blinders is so that we don't screw it up for those people who might actually want to watch it.
Nice.
So there's lots more on the way. CliffCentral.com. Stick around. It is the 26th of April.
CliffCentral.com.